good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to our reopened service here at First United Methodist Church Kemp. For those of you who are listening online, hopefully our Becker folk are still logging in on our Facebook feed. And those who couldn't make it today, I hope are joining us through our Kemp Facebook feed as well. We have been given an approval for now to reopen, and so we are doing that. We are reopening and going to make every attempt to do this as safely as possible. So I look a little funny with my mask on. I hope you can hear me okay, especially those online. Sorry about that. Obviously, he needs some special help, my son. I'm just kidding. He likes to give me a hard time, and I appreciate that. So here we are, though, this morning, and we want to say thank you for coming out. We want to say thank you for really just kind of working with us through this whole time of pandemic and shutdown and being able to now come together, and we're going to try to do it safely. We're here in the, those of us that are here, we're spaced out as best we can. We're wearing face masks. We are dousing ourselves in vats of sanitizer, and we're hoping that with a little grace, extra grace from God, that we can do this safely and meet together on a regular basis going forward. It will be like this for the foreseeable future. What we do and how we do it will be changing. I think the important thing is that we're here and we're still connecting with God. And if we're online together this morning, then we are still connecting with God. And that's what's important. So that's our announcements. We will still continue to handle Bible study and our Sunday school, the youth Sunday school anyway, through Zoom. I probably just need to work out a new schedule with Jim on how we get that going and time frame. It was a lot easier to just put it right before service, but now with travel times and things like that, we might have to adjust that a little bit. So be stay tuned for that. Barb had a birthday. Am I wrong on that? I am not wrong. Barb and Audrey, who is not with us this morning, but we can sing happy birthday to Barb. So if you're online joining, just sing as loud as you can. I'm sure she'll hear it, as we all will hear. And we will sing a quick happy birthday song, and then we'll begin our worship service. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Barb. Happy birthday to you. You know, it's been so long, I forgot. We always say, God loves you, right? Or God bless you. That's my fault. Yeah, followed my lead. I appreciate that, though. One other thing, and I forgot to mention, I did talk to Ann this morning, our wonderful pianist. She is recovering well. She is still several weeks out before she would be able to rejoin us. She has some continued recovery from her accident and limited use of her left hand. So as soon as that gets under control and a little bit better, she'll be happy to join us. She's looking forward to that, but it may be in several more weeks. So do continue to lift her up in our prayers, and we won't be singing a cappella for long, hopefully. All right, join with me in our centering words, and then we'll begin with our call to worship. And you know, it's been so long since I have been together with you guys, I forgot to give you the cues of when we stand and when we sit, but call to worship, we'll stand, we'll sit after the opening prayer, or actually after the affirmation of faith, I think. So here are our centering words. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Jesus promises, where do we go? And to whom do we turn to discover the truth of these words? The music is playing, and God is calling. We have come to sing and dance with God. The prayers are flowing and the Spirit is moving.
Breathe on us, breath of God.
Christ promises rest and renewal when we come to Him.
We are here trusting His sacred promise.
And continuing with our opening prayer. Creator God, you have created us to walk with you. Help us walk with you in this time of worship, that we may be strengthened to walk with you all the days of our lives, as we come to you to say, bless us with your grace and your rest, that we may find renewal and the strength to serve with confidence and joy. Amen. And our affirmation of faith is number 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal, also printed on your order of worship here. Please join me in saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And one last thing, as we stand, we'll sing our Gloria Patri a cappella.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And you may be seated as Kim comes forward for our children's message. Our kids today, if you'll just stay where you are, someday we'll be able to get back together in a different light.
Hi. Virtual hugs and high fives out there to everyone. It's so good to see you. Today I wanted to talk about old friends and friendships. And that's kind of how you know you have a really strong friend, is if you haven't seen them for a while and you get back together and it's just your peas in the pod. And nothing matters and you can talk again and each other again, like we're seeing all of your wonderful faces and hearing, seeing you online. It's like seeing old friends again, and we just can pick up and just love each other just like we always have, and it's a wonderful thing. But I wanted to highlight that God is the same way, and that God is always there for us. So even if you have a time where you may not talk to God for a while, I haven't prayed in a while, or I haven't been to church for a while, or I've kind of slacked off and not read the Bible there for a while, God is just like one of those old friends. And the minute you show up to God and you start praying again, God says, oh, I'm so glad to see you again, and I love to see your face, and I'm glad we could talk and pick up and be pleased in the pod again. So never worry that you haven't done it for a while and have kind of fear or said, I want to get back into it, I don't feel right. Just know that God is always there for you and loves you and is just waiting to catch up again and see your face. So, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for being there for us and being constant in our lives. Help us to remember that you are always waiting for us with open arms, ready to give us a hug and to hear our stories. Help us to always pray for you and to reach out to you no matter how we feel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Kim. As she returns to her place of worship, we come to our time of tithes and offerings. As you entered the building today, and for those of you online, as you have entered the worship service today, we ask that you continue to send in your giving. Becker United Methodist Church is P.O. Box 92 at Kemp, Texas 75143. And First Kemp, you can send it to P.O. Box 327, Kemp, Texas 75143. We also have our PayPal account up and running, and so if you want to give electronically, that is great as well, but you do require, it does require that you have your own PayPal account in order to do that. So with all that said, let's pray for God's blessings to honor this time together that we've come back together and bless these offerings which we have received today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of all that you have given us in such abundance. Father, it is a blessing now as we come together for the first time in several weeks that have turned into months, that we are now here in each other's presence, face to face, physically, and we are here to honor you and the gifts that we return to you as a portion of what you have given to us so abundantly. Lord, we just ask that you multiply it for your great works, not just here in this community of Kemp or in the community of Becker or even Kaufman County, but far beyond through our connection with the United Methodist Church. Lord, we know that your name can be glorified and known throughout all the earth, because we simply give to this plate here that is before us. So we say thank you for that, and we ask all these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Our doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I pushed our bucket up there. I normally don't do that, but it has been so long, and I thought it is such a nice day that we are actually here to actually give back to our children's ministries again. And that bucket, for those of you who can't see it online, but those who know what it is, that bucket, when you put your money in that bucket, it goes directly to the ministries of this church that support children's ministries. So we're so thankful that we are here together, face-to-face, and able to contribute to that bucket again. And I know Kim has been saving up her change over the last several weeks to add to that. I think she put a couple $1 million in there or something. I wish. It was a lot. So we were thankful for that blessing to be able to come together and unload our change purse. Our scripture today comes from Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 25a. And this is from Paul writing to the church in Rome. And what we have is this section here where Paul is kind of setting up for everything that's to come in the second half of Romans. So this is kind of this, well, just hear it, and then you can make, we'll get more into detail about what it's all about. How about that? So starting with verse 15 in chapter 7, and we'll go through the first part of 25. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want to, or I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of the God of in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God indeed. You know, this scripture, let me start this way. For the last several weeks, we've been kind of cooped up and pent up in our houses, our homes, for good reason, right? We want to protect ourselves, and more importantly, we want to protect those around us. And our scripture today has kind of lends us to this thought of this introspective, you know, view of ourselves. And if you're like me, you've spent the last 12 to 15 weeks really thinking about what you do and how you do it, and more importantly, why you do some of those things. Now, I wish I could say that the last 15 weeks or so, I've been this great angel, pillar of society, and done no wrong against the four people or three people that right there on the front row that live with me, but that is not entirely true. We do get on each other's nerves. We are a family, so that is what happens in our house. And sometimes we argue. And sometimes we argue for no reason. And I'm reminded of that verse 15 where it says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, Paul is talking about sin in general here. He's talking about the things that are counterintuitive to a life in Christ. And he's talking about it in a way that makes sense to those early Christians that were converted Jews, converted from the from those that were following the law, right, the Torah. And so as he speaks about these things and he mentions that this struggle that he has inside, it's not just I as in Paul, but I as in the Israelite nation, right? This is something that they've all experienced where they have been given the delight of being able to follow the Torah, and yet, like so many others, and ourselves included, they fall far short of what God's law is and what God's law truly commands. And so Paul is here and he's talking about these things in a way that brings it to our attention, where it really boils it down to that first verse for me. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And I don't mean that's every time, but when it really matters, like yesterday was a good example. My wife and I celebrate our, on the 4th of July is the day we met. It's not the day we were married, but it's like this anniversary of the actual day that we met each other. We met at a gathering of friends and family and in Nacogdoches on the 4th of July, and we spent the night there watching the fireworks and going to dinner and all these things, and you know, we spent the whole day. It was a great thing. And then yesterday morning, you know, she was asking me to basically get off my butt and get to work, right? Like, I have a lot of stuff to do around the house. And so I had this large project I've been working on about my kitchen. I've mentioned a couple of times, and I was very close to finishing the backsplash, and I'm done when I get done with the backsplash, and with my part of the kitchen anyway. We'll have some other people come in and do some other things for us, I think, like painting and maybe some floor work, but the bulk of the heavy lifting is now complete when I finish the backsplash. And so she's like, do you want me to do it? And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. Because a few weeks ago, remember, I was talking about the laborers are few. But the reality is, I'm trying to pick a fight with her for no good reason. On a day that really means something special to us. The 4th of July is a day where, you know, we can really think back 23 years ago. This is the moment that we live together, that we started our lives together, I should say. And the knowledge of, this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. And so I honored that by trying to pick a fight with her first thing in the morning, because I was too lazy to just get up and get on the backsplash. I was too busy with my own thoughts of what I wanted to do or how I wanted to spend my 4th of July Saturday, maybe resting, with the reality of, I don't have that option right now. We had some things that needed to be taken care of. And so here again, I find myself starting my day with, I do not do what I want, but the very thing I hate. Right, I pick a fight for no good reason. I cause tension, I should say. It's not really a fight. It was tensious at best the rest of the day. But here it is, even through that moment, and it wasn't until much later in the evening when we're watching the fireworks show on TV, and people in our neighborhood are firing off their fireworks because that's what we do in the city limits of Mesquite. I don't even know if it's supposed to, but that's what they do. And so we're hearing the live show outside, we're watching the show that's in New York, and it dawns on me that yesterday is that day where it all began for us. And I say to her, hey, you know what, I just realized what today is, and you know, so I apologize. And she graciously accepts it, because she's been putting up with me for 23 years, so she gets my shortcomings, and she understands those things that I fail at completely over and over again. But that doesn't mean it's something that I want to do. And Paul reminds us here in this scripture that we do constantly do the things that we hate to do, the very thing we hate, whether that is a sin of how we treat one another, or if it's a sin against how we treat God in our faith. There are times when we have an opportunity to witness to others around us in the communities where we live or at work, and we fail to lift up God's name and glorify that name. Does that mean we will never be forgiven for that? No, but it is an opportunity missed, and it's an opportunity lost. And those are the kinds of things that we constantly find ourselves, or might kick ourselves about, what we did not do and we did the very thing that we hate, which may be omitting God from the moment. But that is not who we are, really, right? At our core, as Christians, of those who have been baptized in our faith in Christ, we've been baptized not only in the life of Christ, but in his death as well. And because of that, we are this new creation. And because of that opportunity and what Paul speaks to in verse 25, in fact, where he says, thanks to God for Christ Jesus, right? He says it as, thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord, right? That is the cause for celebration in today's scripture, this option or this opportunity that God gives us, even in the midst of our constant shortcomings against whether it's the law of God or interesting topic we had on the way down about morality versus, you know, legality, right? As long as you're doing what's moral, it really doesn't matter whether it's legally right. I don't know if that's true, but we had very few, we could come up with very few examples where if you're saving someone's life, it was okay to, you know, where you could do whatever you could to try to save somebody's life, right? Even if that meant you had to borrow something without asking, kind of thing. And so there's this thought of what we do that's morally correct against what's legally correct. And what God calls us to do, and what Paul reminds us, is that God calls us to do what's morally right. The law, the legality of it, right, the what's right and what's wrong, all hinge on that first two greatest commandments that Jesus attests to in the New Testament, where he says in Luke that, you know, first is love God and second is love neighbor, right? So if you're doing those two things, then you're following this Torah. You're able to answer yes to that law that God has given us. Now, when it comes to doing that consistently over and over, time and time again, some of you are much better at it than I am, I'm sure. But for those of you who are like me, it doesn't mean our options are out because we missed the boat one time or we misstepped. We still have that grace that God gives us through Christ, right? We still have that opportunity to continue to, as I put it here, be straightened out, to get back on the right course, not only by our relationship with, or through our relationship with Christ, but by through the relationships with those around us, right? So when Kim reminded me yesterday morning, hey, we can fight if you want to, or you can just go do what you're supposed to do. And I was like, you're right. And so I after I calmed down, I went and did what I was supposed to do. And thankfully that project is done. I even got the grout in there, so we're really happy with it. It looks good. I'll show pictures. And maybe when we're past this pandemic, everybody can come visit before too long, and get to see all the work that we've put in. But this transformation, not only of our kitchen, this transformation of our relationship over the 23 years, this transformation of ourselves and our faith journey with Christ and with God over these years that we've been following Christ, all these things remind me of where Paul is talking to these folks in Rome that, hey, this may not make exactly a lot of sense to you or be immediately applicable, because those people he would have been writing to would have been believers, so they would have had this understanding of where they were, that, and it should have been a little bit further along than what he was talking about. But the reality is that even so, if they're not careful, if they're not focused on verse 25, they can revert to those other verses, 15, for example, where you're not doing what you want to, but the very thing you hate. So as I mentioned earlier, this is our first time that we've come back together, that we've been able to get together as a church physically and personally, in person, and have worship. And in order to do that, we've had to answer some new protocols. We've had to do some new things. We've cleaned the sanctuary. Thank you for doing that. And we have made sure hand sanitizer is available. We are spaced out and distanced in our seating. And the thing is, And the thing is, we still have to be vigilant about that, right? As the summer began, we had this glimmer of hope that the numbers were starting to come down with regard to the pandemic, that at least it was leveling out and maybe under control. Well, since that time, it's changed quite a bit. But we started making plans to be here this Sunday morning. And God has allowed that. God has honored those plans. And I'm thankful for that. But we have to be vigilant going forward. We have to still continue to distance for a time. We have to continue to clean all the surfaces, wipe them all down at the end of each service and before the next one. We have to be sure that we are wearing our face masks. This is how our church is going to look for the next several months, if not years. We don't really know how long this pandemic is going to impact how we do ministry. But what we need to think about, and what I think Paul's scripture also reminds us about, is thank God, right? Glory be to God for Christ Jesus. Because what we can do now is think about what our church is going to be like in the next year. What do we do, and how do we change those ministries? How do we continue to grow so that we may be the church that answers the call for not just this community here, but goes beyond. I want us to be considerate of the needs of others during this time, right? That's kind of one of the things we've learned, right? There's new protocols that are in place when we leave the house and go into public spaces, including here today. We honestly have to hope that we can return to a normal life, but that's not where we are yet. And we have to wear masks. And we have to be considerate of others. We cannot simply go back to doing what we've always done as we've always done it because simply that's the way we do it. We no longer have that option as a church. We will have to do better. And we will do better. And we will be able to do things in this new church, in this new view of church and ministry that we maybe never thought we could ever do. But we'll have these options, and we need to think about what it means to find new ways to be the church. Not only for, like I said, these communities here, but for each other as well. We can't just run over and into our, you know, neighbor's house or our friend's house anymore and just without thinking about, okay, some protocol, I got to wear a mask, or can I... You know, what can I do? How can I interact and still be there without causing them any harm, number one, right? But we'll figure that out. We'll figure out ways that we can do things and what this version of the new church looks like and what does it offer. And how does it operate in this post-pandemic world that we find ourselves? Those are the questions that I want us to start thinking about as we begin to reopen this church, as we begin to look forward in hope that there is going to be new light at the end of our tunnel, our dark tunnel, right? So these are the questions that many more will need to be answered so that we can continue to do what we want rather than the very thing we hate, right? We can do what we want, which is loving God and loving others as Jesus has called us to do. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our time of pastoral prayer, and you know, I didn't bring my, I might not even send it out. I apologize that I didn't send out the updated list. I'll do it as soon as I get home. But I did add the ones that I got the comments on from last week, as well as those that with regard to our June giving numbers and all that. And I'll send that out if I forgot to send it this week. I apologize about our updated prayer list, but concerns. But if you have any today online, you can do as the same as you've been doing. Type it in the comments, and we will make sure we add those and lift those up in prayer. And if any are here today that have a prayer concern they'd like to lift up or a joy, please. Yes, Tim?
I have a joy. Doesn't pay up.
awesome.
But she's a very sweet gal. I mean, when I went for the interview, then I ended up staying like 2 or 3 hours. I was lying to myself.
All right.
She's just great. Glad to have people help her with him so he can stay in this little trailer.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome news. That is a great joy. Any other?
It's a great thing to be able to share my faith with him.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Kendall?
Judy did really good at his home.
Oh, good.
Oh, Judy's home?
And relationships, too. I know. Bring a lot of relationships. My
prayer
is
that I'm working on a lot of things. All right. Anguish and mental fatigue and depression and everything that goes along with this.
Yeah, I think the COVID has had an effect
on us. I'm sure it has, Deb. I'm sure it has. Any others?
Yeah. Oh, Diana.
Oh.
Emma.
I don't get one of those people really.
I have a coding person.
Did Danny have a happy birthday?
Yeah.
Good.
I even got paid to my because Ray said that I loved it.
Awesome.
You like the pink hair card I found for you?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, Tim.
Leslie Parker, one of those friends of husband, has the stage 4 cancer.
Uh-huh.
And it is deeper in the bone than the anticipated. And he wasn't able to stand up and walk the morning after his treatment this week.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he seems to be there.
Rod Parker, right? So we definitely want to keep Rod lifted up and Leslie this week.
And her brother's Alzheimer's is progressing very, very quickly.
Do we have his name? Okay. What is it, just in case?
Billy Hamm.
Oh, we do. Billy Hamm and Rod Parker. We'll definitely keep them on our list today, for sure, or this week. Any others? Yes, Doug?
I haven't got any more on Daisy Bohr. He's a... my friend from high school, brother, he's 5 years older than me. He was down at the cancer center, what's that called?
MD Anderson?
Yeah. With, I can't remember, he has adrenal, I think it is. And the good news was he didn't have blood clots. Last I got a report from her, and the tumor had not grown, so he's starting another round of chemo. But I haven't gotten an update for the last couple. No news is good news, I guess. It hasn't grown and the chemo's helping.
Okay, thank you. We have him on our list as well, so we'll keep praying for him. Yes, Bella?
Sharon Abbott, she's a good traveling nurse. She was in California for 7 months. She was back. She's going to have another hip replacement sometime.
Okay, good. I'm glad she's back. I'm not good about that. That's great. I'm glad she's back safe. So now she can take care of herself, and she is probably long overdue. So that's good, too. All right. Any others before we bow? Well, let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We just say thank you. Lord, I'm so thankful to be here this morning. I was so thankful. I was actually emotional as we were going through the opening opening parts of our ceremony, the prayer and the call to worship. I was getting a little choked up because, you know, for weeks and weeks, it's just been me talking to a camera on my phone, and I was not sure how many people were actually listening. But it's great and wonderful to be here this morning and see faces and hear them speaking back and speaking with me in their hearts. And Lord, we just say thank you for this opportunity to be here. It's a blessing today. We thank you for the little bit of rain we got, too. We thank you for the opportunities we're going to have in the near future on how we can be the hands and feet of Christ in a new way. Lord, right now, though, we want to lift up these names that we have today. We want to say thank you for the gifts of new jobs. We want to say thank you for the improvement from recovery from accidents and things of that nature, Lord. But there are things that also are deep and dark right now that our loved ones are dealing with. Some are life-threatening with regard to cancer. Some are life-threatening with regard to mental, debilitating mental issues. Lord, we just ask that you be with those folks, that you lift them up, that you strengthen them, that you use us in a way that allows them to be a part of our life in a new way, that we can continue to reach out and touch them and be a part of their connection with you. Father, we ask that you use us in a new way, in a bold way, and we ask that you be there for these families and show up and heal them. But we know that it's your will be done when we ask these things, so we just ask that your will take over, that you take the words that we lift up, the names that we lift up, and that you use them for your purpose, to glorify you in this world, this creation that you've given us. Father, we ask all these things in your Son, Christ Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I guess we come to our hymn time, right? Our one hymn, and we'll join and stand together and join in the number 400. We will sing those three verses right there that I printed out for you. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Are we ready? Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. May the mercy never cease me, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at by the love of God, go forth to renew others with this very love. Amen. Thank you.